from the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos. We're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. I'm going to do something special this hour of the program. You know, this show, Speaking of Strange, has been on the air, I think, something like 12 years now. Honestly, I've even lost count myself. It's kind of like birthdays. As time goes on, they don't mean so much. You just, you know, you just keep pushing forward and doing what you do. And so in all that time, the listeners, they know very well all about me. There's plenty of material, years of podcasts. I'm a big self-promoter. You can go to my website. Investigator Shelley Wright has been on this show for years and years, and people know who Shelley Wright is, and they know they can go meet her and visit with her at Wright's Coin Shop. However, May will mark the one-year anniversary of this show being produced by Mr. Sam the Animal Steele. And the feedback has been great about having Sam Steele as the producer of this show. And there are lots of intriguing things. I've been saying for a long time, Sam, that I wanted to do the Sam Steele story. And for one reason, you know, I read stories on every show that come from countries all around the world. And I think about 50% of the time, you tell me either on or off the air you have been to that country. And I would like to know how a man who is still in his 30s, who is not the child of an ambassador, has had the ability to travel as widely as you have and gotten into so many adventures and determine how this is formed and some might even say distorted you into the figure you are today. I'm joking, of course. But and also I think our listeners would be intrigued to know that you have a very artistic side. You do a lot of art projects. You have some specialized hobbies. And so it's good to sort of flesh out the personalities that are bringing you this program. So, folks, we are going to have this hour, at least for the time being, the Sam Steele story. And, Sam, thank you for agreeing to be my interview subject for this hour of the show.
It's very exciting. I'm on the other side of the table.
Yeah, that you are. You're now juggling even more hats. Mm. So, you know, and again, my intention is not to make you uncomfortable, to embarrass you, to put you on the spot. I don't have any ulterior motives or
agendas. Are you going to ask about the sex tape?
Possibly. But, you know, you don't have to answer. So let's just start at the beginning. As they say, tell us, Sam, when and where you were born.
I was born in the year of bicentennial, baby, 1976 in the year of our Lord, down in June on the solstice, down in Clearwater, Florida.
Yeah. That explains a lot, by the way.
Oh, Shelley, where's the bell?
A native Floridian.
Yeah, in Clearwater.
In Clearwater, Florida.
Florida.
A beautiful place.
It is a lovely place to visit.
Yeah. So now, Sam, what would you consider to be your earliest clear memory?
Oh, let's see. Earliest clear memory. I remember the first day of kindergarten. I was wearing a Tom and Jerry belt buckle.
Mm-hmm.
I had this haircut that made me look like I had water on the brain. That you know, like kindergarten kid haircut with the back of your head like bulbous and like misshapen looking. I think we have like a silhouette. Remember, like it was like in first or second grade, like in the whole world, you did that silhouette project where they like project your face on the wall and they trace it out in black cardboard or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I look like I'm like the elephant child or something.
That was your earliest clear memory.
Yeah,
okay.
That or like, you know, going to see the circus. We just talked off the air a little bit about P.T. Barnum, and I remember being so excited. My parents coming to pick me up from school, and we were like, we're going to see the circus. We're like, yeah, the circus! And then we get there, and my sister just started screaming and crying because the elephant, as she would say, the elephant poopies smell so bad. And now, to be fair, elephant poopies were about as big as she was at the time. They're huge, and they do smell bad. But she pitched such a hissy fit, we had to leave the circus. So I did not get to see the circus. I remember that probably stems a lot of my problems from that incident.
Well, you know, Sam, I actually have a memory from before I could speak.
Of course you do.
And you always hear, you know, that varies a lot from person to person, you know, just how far back. My very first memory, I think, goes to, you know, like being in my playpen, and I remember there was a Cookie Monster doll there, which I won't even bring up last week's show, related to Cookie Monster. So you don't have any memories, though, of, like, you know, before being able to speak and interact with people.
I mean, I don't know if it's distorted now over time of, like, I remembered it or I only remember it because it was brought up a lot as a child. Do I remember the fact that I was sitting in a high chair and my dad would take peanut butter on a spoon and fill my mouth up with it? So I'd be like, oh, and then they would all point at me and laugh. Or whipped cream. Now, to this day, 38 years old, I don't eat whipped cream or peanut butter. But, I mean, I don't know if I remember that or if it's just like, oh, yeah, like that story was told of why I hate peanut butter because all the adults are laughing at my misshapen baby head.
I've seen people put peanut butter in, like, a dog's mouth, cat's mouth, and laugh at it as it goes. Blah, blah, blah. So that's what I'm envisioning.
We didn't have a dog. We had me.
Yeah. Okay. So they got to just cram things in your mouth and watch funny
reactions. It's not Dark 30 yet, buddy.
Okay. So tell us then how you would more or less summarize or describe the first 10 years of your life.
I wouldn't say idyllic, but, I mean, they were pretty good. I mean, I don't have a whole lot of bad memories, like filtered through the lenses of nowhood. You know, you can be like, oh, that's messed up or something like that. But, I mean, at the time, like living in that moment, I mean, it was pretty good. I mean, I had all the family down there in Clearwater. Grandma and Grandpa lived across the, you know, like we lived right down the road. My aunt and uncle and my three cousins lived across the street from Grandma and Grandpa's. So we had like a whole lot of family really close. And I was looking this past Christmas, my aunt made for all the families a picture book of Grandma and Grandpa's, like Grandma's recipe book. It's like all these pictures of us just, and I was like, oh, man, like, those were such good times because we had a lot of family over there, and to just be eating at, like, a huge table with, like, 20 people, grandma's corn pudding and stuff like that. And I was like, man, those were good times, you know? Like,
so you actually had pictures with people in them and not just pictures of the food.
Yeah. I mean, nowadays it's just.
We didn't have that. We had these huge family get-togethers, but. They took pictures of the food and not all of us.
Now it would be like Instagrammed, like an arty pic of grandma's corn pudding bowl or something, you know, instead of like all of us having a good time. But no, it was good times. I mean, and we didn't live right on the water, but I mean, we didn't live far from the beach. And go to the beach and ride my bike and my skateboard and, you know, can't complain.
So now we, of course, have talked for years about how Florida is the weirdest state. I think that's widely accepted.
Yeah,
we have all these crazy messed up stories. Being born in Florida and being developed there in your formative years, can you give us any deeper insight on why Florida has this reputation and your thoughts on the weirdness of that state in general?
Growing up down there, it didn't seem weird at all. I mean, it's something I don't think you notice unless you're transplanted down there or you move away from it. I mean, the main rationale would probably be it's hotter than the devil down there. And heat drives people to craziness a lot of times. But I mean, it does, like in the summer, it does feel like you open the door and it's like standing behind a city bus. Just like, oh. And so we moved up here in 90. Dad's a professor up at UNCA, and he was a professor down in Florida. My grandpa founded Clearwater Christian College, which is now accredited. They were like the number one girls volleyball collegiate team in the country for like 12 years straight or something. Very conservative Christian school. Grandpa and Bob Jones Sr. were good friends. just down, I don't know. I mean, it didn't seem crazy at all. Then we moved up here because I think they didn't want me to go to the public schools down there. Like, we went to private school, like Christian school, kindergarten to eighth grade. But, I mean, the schools down there can be kind of rough in ways, you know, depending on where you're zoned and, you know, a lot of peer pressure and stuff like that. And then, like, once you get to that age, it does get a lot crazy. When I go back down and visit my friends, I was like, what the crap, man? Like, they were into some craziness, you know? And so being up here was a lot more mellow. I'm probably glad. Way hotter girls down there, though. Gracious.
And let me just say, you know, people have picked up on the fact that even though you were in North Carolina for long before I met you and you'd been doing radio and you still do radio on other stations and whatnot, I knew your father before I knew you because you said your father is a math professor and he was my math professor at UNCA. How would you describe the experience of growing up as a child with a father who is a math professor?
Oh, I mean, you would think that there would be some, you know, pressure or something. There's none. I mean, I failed geometry, for goodness sakes. I mean, I've been horrible at math. Like, that's not my thing. But Dad can't, you know, read as quick as I can. You know, different. He can build lots of cool stuff that I can't. But, no, I mean, he was, like, the best. I mean, I see all my friends now, and, like, you know, they all have, like, come from splintered families or, like, horrible situations. And, like, all my friends are just like, man, you are so lucky. You know, like, you got the best parents ever. And I can't dispute that. I mean, they're great, you know.
You and I have joked before about, like, maybe you being out, you know, to dinner or somewhere with your dad, and he runs into some of his students.
Oh, yeah.
Some hot chicks. And you're like, hey, you know, yeah. Come talk to me instead of my dad, right?
I'm, like, hoping he'll play wingman. Be like, oh have you, this is my son here. But no, I mean, everywhere we go, it's like, oh, Dr. Steele. And he remembers, he's getting a little older, but he's still, I'd say, to use a percentage, he still remembers over 90% of his former students' names. It might take him a second, but he remembers them. So,
okay,
I mean,
we're
going to
take
feature.
A break. When we come back, we will move into Sam Steele's early romantic experiences, his first exposure to women, or anything else that might apply to that conversation. We're going to talk some about his artistic skills and interests and how those develop, and we're going to morph gradually into his years as a world traveler. We are profiling, we are showcasing my producer, the producer of Speaking of Strange, Mr. Sam the Animal Steele. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. Their number is 828-298-5402. We want to make sure you have that written down somewhere in your house. And Speaking of Strange, we'll be back right after this. Steel rail, a smile from a veil.
Do you think you can tell? One, two. Five. 5 years,
five.
Huh? Yes, okay. Well, I guess your drums mean a great deal to you, huh?
Yeah. Oh, nice.
You like them more than food, I guess, huh?
They are food. Eat drums, eat cymbals.
How symbolic.
Bad pun.
Yeah. Listen, I imagine you have a lot of idols. Buddy Rich.
Oh, yeah.
Gene Krupa.
Yeah, Krupa.
Tony Checkers. He's our new drummer. He begins next week.
Then again, maybe not.
I'll fucking dance in the nighttime. It's the music that we choose. 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 The world is spinning too fast. I'm fine that Nike shoes to keep myself tethered to the days I tried to lose. My mama
Oh, well, that was an abrupt ending to that, was it not?
And that'll work. Welcome back.
Hey.
Hey, everybody.
It just shut off. I had even, like, zoomed out so it wouldn't do that. So imagine my surprise when it just stopped. When I still had another minute and a half.
An animal song.
Actually, our drummer has the tattoo of animal.
Really?
Yeah, he's the drummer. I mean, what drummer doesn't like animal, you know?
Well, in that case, welcome back, everybody.
Hey.
Speaking of strange, I'm Joshua P. Warren. We're talking right now with our own animal, Sam the Animal Steele, who has been the producer of this program for a year come May. And we're getting his story. We want you all to know him a little bit better. And, you know, Sam, I, of course, talked about your father, Dr. David Steele, because he was my math professor, best math professor I ever had. But we must talk about your mother. Tell me about your mother. What's the story behind Sam Steele's mother?
Mom is, she's just a lovely, sweet lady. You know, like all my friends would always say that they wished that my parents were their parents, you know. Always made my friends feel at home, just really easy to talk to, very caring parents. There's really no reason why I am the way I am for the most part.
All right. Well, you know,
don't want to reflect poorly on them.
I think that who was it who said the same thing? Why is his name escaping me? Jeffrey Dahmer. Yes, yes. He said the same thing about his parents. And your mom's name is Phyllis.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and what's she into?
She is she works for an accountant, and she's worked there for like 20 something years, and
so a lot of numbers flying around the minds of your parents, a lot of, you know, like left brain activity, and yet you didn't really connect with that.
Different kind of creativity going on here.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move forth in your life. Tell us about the moment when you first experienced the little soft magical tingle of womanhood.
It probably similar to you, maybe a Sears catalog.
Mm-hmm.
Because back then, when we were adolescents, there was no internet.
Right.
There was no plethora, no pornucopia. Out there, we had to make do with what we had, and if you were very lucky, you had a Fredericks of Hollywood catalog. That was pretty steamy.
You know, that is sad but true, because, you know, and even though you and I are in our 30s, people have to realize that we were not at all growing up in the internet age. I mean, people may not be clear on the fact that, you know, that came when we were already out of high school is when that started kicking in.
Yeah, I mean, you had to use, like, pictures of, like, women in girdles and stuff. Like, whatever you could find. Like, and I remember, like, going into the woods with my buddy, and there was, like, you know, the older kids that hung out in the woods. And, like, you would have to, you know, steer clear of them because, like, bad things would happen if you encountered the older kids, you know, who drank and had the tire swing and stuff. But, like, we went and snooped around there when they weren't there, and there was, like, a still smoldering campfire. And for some reason, don't know why, but they had burned these Playboys. And they weren't just your standard Playboys. They were like your special issue ones that were like all pictures, you know? So we salvaged the burned pictures out of the Playboys and like cut out all the burned. So I still have like a weird correlation between boobies and the smell of like burning paper. Like, because we split up all the pages that we could salvage, you know, 50-50, and I kept them in like a Ziploc bag. And those were like the prized possessions for a while, you know.
I hope the FBI profilers are out there taking notes right now.
Take
so they
the
will
notes.
Understand.
I don't care. Whatever.
You know, well, tell us about your first kiss, Sam.
Let's see. First kiss. Man, I don't remember the kiss so much as some other things. I would have to assume it came.
Where did she kiss you?
Well, I mean, we can't. No. It's not the dark 30 hour.
Right,
but
right.
I would assume that it came from church, you know, like from youth group. My parents from time to time would be like de facto youth group leaders when I was in middle school and stuff. We would actually come up here from Clearwater to Brevard, and I had no connection to Western North Carolina at the time. I had no idea where Brevard was or what Asheville was, but we'd go to this camp up in Brevard in Transylvania County, and I remember we thought that was crazy. Like, we saw snow, and it wasn't even real snow. It was like they'd pumped it on the side of a hill, you know, to tube down. We had to stop the van. We have videotape of it still, of, like, all of us floor, like, oh, no way, it's snow, because we'd never seen snow in our lives, you know, and so that was pretty wild. But, I mean, it must have been a kid, a girl, a kid. It must have been the youth leader or...
That'll be tomorrow's headline.
Continue on. All right.
Okay, so, Sam, at what point did you develop the artistic interest that you have
to this day? Are we not
going to
get to losing my virginity? Is that going to be just glossed over? Or have we not gotten there yet?
No, please, go for it. Let us know.
You're
going
to go from, like, first kiss, which I don't remember, skip right over the V card?
Well,
come on. We're trying to make compelling radio here, Warren.
That is true. I didn't want to be responsible for it, but now that you've opened that door,
it's
go through
open.
It.
I was a late bloomer, as I look to Shelley. I was a 21, Bell Cher. R.L. Burnside was playing at Bell Cher, the blues, the North Mississippi Delta bluesman, R.L. Burnside. And I recently got a chance a couple years ago to interview his grandson, and I was like, I had to clarify myself. I was like, I gotta tell you, man, Cedric, it is so cool. I lost my virginity to your grandpa. What I meant to say was I lost my virginity the night that I saw your grandpa play here in Asheville, not to your grandpa, although that would have been a heck of a story as well. Well, that's what he would have said after it was done.
And what kind of an environment were you in? Was it a car, like in the 1950s? Were you in an alleyway?
It was not a Biff and, you know, Lorraine McFly scenario. No. No, it was in an apartment above a garage in the Beverly Hills area.
Ooh, fancy.
And what was funny is, like, I was a late bloomer, and I was like, you know, I felt inadequate. I got to get this done. Just about getting ready to get it on. And this before cell phones and everything, phone rings. I'm like, just ignore it. She looked at it, and the caller ID lit up, and it said Buncombe County. What do you know? Always ignore the calls that say Buncombe County. And it was somebody who had got arrested, needing us to bail them out of jail. So I was just about to get it on for the very first time ever, had to stop, go downtown, and bail dude out of jail. And by that point, your buzz is worn off. We were drinking rum and Kool-Aid out of Mountain Dew bottles.
That is a very romantic story.
I'm still friends with the girl to this day, so.
All right, okay, but let's just, you know, talk sure enough about the fact that right now, you're always surprising me, and probably Shelley, telling us, well, here's what I did over the past week. I sculpted something, I painted something, I crafted something. Tell us about your artistic interest, and I'm imagining that they began for you when you were in your teens moving into adulthood.
No. No? I mean, I took art in high school. What's up, Miss Briggs? She's awesome. No, I mean, I enjoyed doing stuff like that, but, I mean, I had no talent whatsoever for anything like that. And I recently saw some stuff in my parents' garage, and I was like, oh, my God, that's awful. But, no, that honestly didn't start till a couple of years ago. It just, like... I saw something on Reddit one day, wanted to emulate it, and just never stopped.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. So you were a late bloomer in that regard.
Many,
okay, we're going to take
areas.
A break. Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the art of Sam Still and at what point he was capable of traveling to countries all around the world and getting into mischief, really letting it all hang out. We're talking about my producer, Sam the Animal Steel. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
sentido que yo soy educado. Soy un caballerito, un chico bien apuntado, un joven responsable y siempre bien vestido. Yo no sé quién ha mentido. I don't drink or smoke and into dope, which I know coke. You ask me how do I do what I cope. My only addiction has to do with a female species. I eat them raw like sushi. No me gusta enterno, mi estilo es moderno. Si me enfermo, yo me enfermo. Mi apariencia es dura, vivo en la locura. No me vengan con ternuras. So please don't judge your book by its cover. There's more to being a Latin lover. You gotta know how to deal with a woman that won't let go. The price you pay for being a gigolo. Rico. Suave. Rico.
One of the high strangers around the globe. We call this Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. We always want to make sure that somewhere in your house you have their number written down, 828-298-5402. You can call Wright's Coin Shop from anywhere in the country, 828-298-5402. And they'll help you out. There's also a link at speakingofstrange.com. This show is also brought to you by producer Sam the Animal Steel, the man who's there coordinating all this and literally putting it all into a format that you can hopefully enjoy.
Pushing the buttons.
And, and you know, Sam, just to clarify, you got back from the jail, and then you consummated that act.
I guess you could call it that. It was pretty quick. It was pretty quick. I was not the Lothario I am now.
Well, you've never been married.
Nope. No. Engaged, you don't have any, engaged once.
You have no children that you know of.
Nope.
And you are, therefore, a man about town.
I would say the triple threat, the hat trick of bachelor, because I have no ex-wife, no kids, no college loans.
Wow. And then describe yourself physically for everybody.
I'm tall, dark, and handsome. Salt and pepper. Got the Clooney hair going on. It's kind of long in the front. I'm 6'6", size 15 shoe. Ladies, what's up? I have lots of shoes. I got like about 100 pairs of shoes. I kind of have a shoe fetish. Tall, thin. You know, we're getting older. We're getting in our 30s. You know, I don't got the six-pack I used to. But I'm still thin and, grayish, peppery hair, whatever. Beard.
At least you used to have one. Okay.
It was like a two-pack. It wasn't a six-pack. It was like somebody had drank a couple of them.
I remember when I was a kid and I asked my father, Dad, I mean, I'm like a little kid. And I said, Dad, how old do you get when you get, you know, like all the muscles and all that kind of stuff? Like, because, you know, you grow up and you're watching Superman and He-Man. So no matter what, how old do you get when you start, you know, developing your muscles? And he was like, I'm still waiting, son. I have no idea. So I understand what he's saying. All right. So, Sam, how on earth did a guy who came from humble beginnings like yourself, growing up in Florida with a professor dad and accountant mom, how did you end up traveling the world? Tell us, how that began and where all you have been.
Man-whoring would be the answer. Gigoloing. No, mostly it was the bulk of my, you know, world travels came in my 20s. When I graduated high school, my parents, I don't know if they were cool with it or not, but I was like, I don't want to go to college just yet. I'm just like, I've been in school for, you know, 12, 13 years or whatever. Like, I kind of want to not be in school for a while and sleep in all the time. I wanted to party. I wanted to have a good time. You know, I partied really well and became problematic at times. But, I mean, they were nice enough to, you know, help me go places, you know. Like, so I lived in England for a three-month spurt and a one-month spurt there in my early 20s. And I loved that. That was really interesting. And I gave me the bug to, like, you know, got over the fear of getting out of the country for the first time. And I wanted to go check out some more. And, like, one of those times I was over there, I was digging in the garden. And these two guys from New Guinea were like, hey, you want to go to Zurich and then drive all through Europe. I mean, literally, I got a 5-minute notice. And I called my dad from England, and I was like, can I please use the crate? He's like, you know what? Go for it. Just go for it. I took all my crap and just shoved it in a duffel bag, and like 6 minutes later, I'm walking to the train station, and that was a crazy. So like that led to, you know, England, Switzerland, France, Germany, Amsterdam for the first time, where I met a lady of the night. I learned a very important lesson, Josh, which is always negotiate the transaction before the transaction is done. Because then they got you where they want them, where they want you. And, like, they can take you for whatever, and you have to pay them. So, you know what I'm saying?
How much did it cost?
Oh, God, I don't even want my parents to know. I remember getting back from that trip, and my dad said, we had better own a place called the Silver Birch, which was the local pub. And at the time, the pound to the dollar ratio was like 2-1, and so I was an alcoholic. And I was drinking an obscene amounts of pints per day, and so each one was like $8. And I did that for 3 months straight, and it was ridiculous. I was taking out cash advances on credit cards in other countries. I can't be great. But like I said, I love my parents. I had great parents, and they could have been really jerks about that. But they let me have those experiences. And then later on, the travels would come through my sister, who she was like, I was like the black sheep. She was the more successful member of the family. She'd gone to like Duke and Oxford and she law school and all that. She was making good money. And so I was lucky enough to go with her and her husband to India to go on a legal trip with the International Justice Mission to collect affidavits on Mudalalis, which are slave owners, basically, which is still going on over there. That was very fulfilling. And very crazy, crazy trip. We had like an undercover guy from the CIA with us on that trip. We just knew him as Mike. He was like 6'8", and like we're like carrying camera equipment through checkpoints. And this is like right after 9/11, and it was wild stuff. Got to do that. She was in Dubai for like 5 months, 6 months, and she was very lonely. So she flew me to Dubai, and I got to stay there for a couple weeks. And unfortunately, I have a brand new passport. You know, I'd love to go to China with the human fireball or whatever. But, you know, as of late, I have a family member who's got a really sweet boat, and we get to, you know, I get to hop on there and just kind of be the loser, poor guy that gets to, like, live the dream for a couple days. And it's kind of nice to live by, because you don't have to deal with all the problems that come with being the rich guy, which there's more than meets the eye. It's not all bubbles and cookies, you know. Like, you get to live that life and be like, this is awesome. Then you go back to being a poor guy again. And it's like, yeah, well, whatever.
So you never went to Bangkok?
I have not gone to Bangkok. I've been to Amsterdam 3 or 4 times. And, you know, like most of Europe, like driven through it. Unfortunately, didn't get to stop all the places I wanted to. Like, I'd love to have gone to Berlin. Drove through it. Got to drive on the Autobahn. Got stopped by customs in Holland going into Germany. And they found all of our drugs, like a bag full of drugs. Hash and weed and mushrooms and God knows what else. Like, all sorts of paraphernalia. They were like, we're screwed. We're going to jail in another country. You don't want to do that. And they gave us all the drugs back. Holland, you got, they're like, okay, boys, here's your drugs back. Now, we're going to suggest strongly that you get rid of these before you get to Germany, because they're not as cool. I got rid of mine. I wasn't going down in Germany. No, sir.
So poor old Mr. and Mrs. Steele.
I apologize.
Who have been together for decades, forming a stable family,
Christian-oriented home, excellent home,
working every day
for the man.
For the man and the man and the man, paying their bills, yep, paying their tax, are bankrolling.
Yeah,
they're youngest, but, I guess.
No, I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest.
Younger sisters. Yeah.
They learned quickly then, probably not to extend such latitude.
I think that they would agree that, like, I turned out all right. I'm a screw-up as much as anybody else. I got my issues, too. But I think overall they instilled in me very good values, and, you know, morals are what morals are. I mean, Miss Shelley Wright could tell you I'm a very nice young man, and I'm a good young man. I mean, I might be a filthy McNasty, but
you're good at heart.
Yeah, I was raised properly.
Yes.
But yeah, and I think that they gave me that the chance to go see that stuff and, you know, get to have those life experiences, knowing that down the road that would, you know, pay off its own dividends, you know. And maybe that's like, you know, for a creative mind who's not good, it's obvious I'm not good at doing certain things. You know, like you wouldn't be good at manual labor, you know. And
it depends on how manual it is.
Oh, I know what manual labor you're good at. But, you know, I mean, like, I think that they knew that that would pay off more in the long run, having those experiences and getting to do some of those things for a creative mind, you know?
Okay, so, Sam, we have about a minute and a half before our first break. How did you get into the radio business?
Oh, man. Do you remember, I don't want to say her name, but I'm pretty sure you know her. She was a blonde girl. This is back when we were Blue Dolphin Radio. Like, this is 15 years ago now. Same company as it is now, a lot of the same people. But we went to school together in high school, and she was having a physical relationship with the program director at the time. And she basically said, hire my friend Sam, he wants to get into radio. If you don't, I'm going to cut you off. And so he's like, okay, whatever, because he sucked at his job. He was horrible at his job. And he hired me, and so I did weekend producing for AM talk shows, and boy, has it paid off.
When we come back from this break, Sam, you have an opportunity to think about this question now.
When's it going to get dirty?
I'm
waiting for the bomb to drop.
No, I want you to think about this. When we come back, I want to ask you, based upon everything you've experienced, what is the meaning of life? Folks, right now I'm talking with my producer, Sam the Animal Still. We're all getting to know him better within the confines of what the FCC will allow us to broadcast. Let me reiterate that, within the confines of the FCC. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Number two on tonight, Speaking of Strange. Coming up next hour, we call it the Dark 30 Hour, and that is when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial material. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. That's why we save it for late at night, and, well, you can determine whether or not you want to stick around for that. But right now, we're wrapping up this biographical/autobiographical segment with producer of this program over the past year, Mr. Sam the Animal Steel, so all of you know a little bit more about who he is and where he comes from. Sam, since we only have a few minutes left, I want you to do two things, actually three things, okay?
Okay.
Number one, tell us about the art that you do now. Number two, tell us about your hobbies. And number three, tell us what you believe at this point in your life is the meaning of life.
Okay, the art that I do, you can see it for yourself. A little self-promotion here. Saturday, May the 2nd, from 5 until 7, I'll be having my first ever little art crap showing at Pulp underneath the orange peel. And I did not want to do it. I don't do art for mass consumption. I just do it because it's like free therapy or whatever. A lot of pop culture stuff, paintings, working on, you know, just little mixed media things. Mostly like TV, music, movie related. The second part of the question was the art that
hobbies.
Hobbies. Yeah. I like to do the art, like painting. It just came up a couple years ago. Mostly I do spray paint as a medium. I have a lot of spray paint at my house. Never on public edifices, though, as not that I have a problem with it morally necessarily. I just think it's like, what's the point? It's too much work. I don't know. And I don't have a self-promotional spirit such as that. I just like to do it, you know, and people come over, they like it. Sure, then let's work it out. I like to paint. I like to read. I play music. I play music in two bands, a heavy metal band and a surf blues rockabilly kind of band, Vic Crown and Red Honey, respectively. You can catch us throughout the upcoming months all over Asheville, North Carolina. Vic Crown will be playing at the Auditorium at the end of the month of April. So come on down. That'd be excellent. We'd love to see you. And the meaning, let's see, other hobbies. I used to like to play tennis a lot, but we're getting old, Josh. The knees are going out, you know. I was playing competitively for a while a couple years ago. Got third in the state in men's doubles. But then the knees started buckling pretty bad, and I was having to wear braces under my jeans and stuff. And I like to wear the slim-fit jeans. It was just a fashion faux pas. Watch TV. I'm really good at that. And I had to quit drinking. I was really good at getting, like, you know, getting a buzz on. I was really good at that. But it's been 10 years now since I had a drink. You know, I think that the good Lord gives us all X amount of days to just get completely hammered. And I, like the prodigal son, spent mine all too soon. I don't know. The meaning of life. Oh, that's a tough one. The meaning of life, I think it boils down to, you know, it doesn't, I always say it's not what you do, it's how you do. You're not your job, you're not the bad aspects about you, it's how you do it. And you can do things that people might perceive as bad, but you can do them right. You know, my parents did instill in me a good sense of right and wrong and a good set of morals and values. You know, just the main things, don't lie to people, don't rip people off, don't steal from people. You know,
And Sam, what is the best way that people can get in touch with you directly?
Through the Elks Club in Leicester.
I mean, do you have an email address, your Twitter handle, et cetera?
Yeah, Twitter is @Sam_Steele, Steele. You can, I think I have the same Instagram handle, although it's private. You got to hit me up for an invite, you know, let you in. Facebook, you know, Sammy Ramone 76, I believe, is my Facebook. And it's not so, just look for the goofy looking white guy, Sam Steele. Did you know that if you Google Sam Steele, you'll get a lot of a black porn star whose last name is also Steele. But you'll also get a lot of Sam Steele, the Canadian Royal Mountie. He was a very famous Canadian hero, a national treasure up there, and they have Sam Steele Days.
All right, Sam, over the next minute, tell us about two of my works
that
are going to be exhibited.
I am working on some Creature from the Black Lagoon pieces in resin and cast plastic resins. It looks like, you know, he's coming up out of the water. I have a Mr. T head that has an embedded LED light system in it that kind of glows. It's like a Mr. T with a glowing light. And a lot of paintings that are reasonably priced. And you don't have to buy anything, but you can definitely come down and support your local producer, artist guy.
How much does your most expensive piece of art cost? What have you marked on?
I haven't really done pricing points yet, but I would say probably somewhere in like the $200, $150, $200. There's a couple that are big canvases or bigger canvases and some of the, you know, clay, like handmade pieces and stuff. But, no, I mean, most everything is like $50. If
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. That's reasonable.
Very reasonable.
Everybody, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, we'll have all of Sam's contact information there for you if you want to follow up with him and get information on his performances, his art expo, etc. And now you know a little bit more about the Mad Minds.
It's fun after all these years of playing radio to actually get to be the guest on a segment, you know?
Well, my pleasure, and thank you for doing such a stellar job over the past year. You fit in perfectly with this thing we called Speaking of Strange, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
There you have it. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and Speaking of Strange, Dark 30 Hour will continue after this.